From VOA Learning English, this is Science in the News. I'm Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Steve Ember. Today on the program, we tell about international efforts to fight a health threat in the West African nation of Guinea. Then we report on a finding that cold air might be good for your health. But first, we report on a medical discovery. American researchers say a drug used to treat breast cancer may help people who have AIDS or HIV, the virus that causes the disease.
A drug used to treat breast cancer may soon have another use. Researchers say the drug could be helpful as a weapon against a fungal infection that kills more HIV/AIDS patients than the disease tuberculosis. The possible new use for tamoxifen was discovered as part of an investigation of older, already approved drugs. The makers of these drugs have sought and received approval from United States government agencies to sell their products to the public. Health experts estimate that a fungus called Cryptococcus infects about 1 million people worldwide every year. The fungal infection is called cryptococcosis. It is especially deadly for people living with AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Most of the infections take place in African countries south of the Sahara Desert. 90% of the people who have AIDS live in those countries.
Damien Creason is an infectious diseases specialist at the University of Rochester in New York State. He says cryptococcosis can lead to meningitis, a life-threatening infection of the covering of the brain and spinal cord.
It currently kills on the order of 750,000 people a year, primarily, again, in resource-limited regions with high rates of HIV/AIDS.
Two costly drugs are commonly used to treat the fungal infection, but they are not commonly available in developing countries, and they are difficult to give to patients because they must be injected into a person's blood. Experts say that even under the best conditions, 10 to 20% of those who receive this treatment will die. Another drug is often used in poor countries to fight cryptococcosis, but the drug only slows the growth of the infection.
Some researchers are investigating whether drugs already approved for one condition might be useful against another. Dr. Creason and other researchers examined about 2,000 drugs and combinations of drugs for ones that could kill cryptococcus. They found one, tamoxifen, a drug that has been used for years to treat women with breast cancer. Dr. Creason says tamoxifen is not pricey and seems to help patients in a number of ways.
It can be given orally to patients, which was what we needed. Cryptococcus causes a brain infection, essentially. And so we needed that drug to get to the brain. And tamoxifen actually crosses into the central nervous system very effectively and even accumulates to levels above what we see in the blood.
Dr. Creason published a report on his findings in the journal MBio. He says tamoxifen is most effective against the fungal infection when it is combined with the drug that is already used to treat cryptococcosis in poor countries. More tests are still needed, but because both drugs are already approved, human testing will follow soon.
Mass emergency vaccination programs were launched in Guinea recently to control a growing health threat, measles. Doctors Without Borders and the United Nations Children's Fund announced the vaccination campaigns last month. The two groups plan to work with Guinea's Ministry of Health to vaccinate more than 2 million children against measles. All the boys and girls are between the ages of 6 months and 10 years. The World Health Organization warns that measles is one of the most highly infectious diseases. WHO experts say measles is a leading cause of death among children. The cause is a fast-spreading virus.
The measles outbreak in Guinea began in December. A short time later, the government declared measles an epidemic. This means it has infected many people over a short period. The last measles outbreak in Guinea was in 2009. At that time, the disease infected more than 4,000 children and caused 10 deaths. Most cases of measles are curable, but health experts say vaccination is the best way to keep the number of deaths low.
In February, Doctors Without Borders reported that not enough children had received vaccinations that include protection against measles. It said fewer than 80% of children living in the capital, Conakry, had received such vaccines. Only 37% of all children in Guinea were vaccinated. Dr. Ronaldo Ortunio works for Doctors Without Borders. He says even a single case of measles is one too many.
Measles is a preventable disease by vaccine. You shouldn't have an epidemic, an outbreak in this country. But unfortunately, there are some weakness in the Ministry of Health, in the regular vaccination. And of course, with this lack of vaccination of the children, we have an outbreak every 3 to 4 years, which is the case currently in Conakry.
Health officials have been urging parents to watch their children for signs of measles, high body temperature, redness in the eyes, white areas on the mouth, and skin discoloration on the face and neck.
North America was in a deep freeze this winter. Cold air from the Arctic led to record low temperatures in some areas. But now a new study has found that all that cold air may actually be good for your health. It was so cold in Chicago, Illinois last month that people were being warned to stay inside. Paige Worthy was born and lives in the place that Americans call the Windy City. She says this was the worst winter she can remember.
It's actually hurt to breathe in because the air is so cold that I actually have to cover my mouth with a scarf to keep my lungs from actually hurting.
Shivering is an involuntary response to cold. It is the subject of a new study published in the journal Cell Metabolism. Researchers say they found that shivering or shaking causes the body to release a natural hormone called irisin. The hormone activates brown fat, the good fat in your body that burns calories and helps to support weight loss. Francesco Celli of Virginia Commonwealth University was the lead writer of a report about the study. He says irisin has another important role.
Indeed, the purpose of brown fat is maintaining the core temperature, so the temperature of the body whereby all the vital function can be active and normal.
Dr. Celi worked with researchers at the U.S. National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. They already knew the body produces irisin when we do physical exercise. When we exercise, our muscles contract or change in size like they do when we shiver. The NIH researchers believe human ancestors developed the ability to shiver as a way to survive cold weather.
This is the last ditch before going in hypothermia and having severe metabolic and life-threatening consequences.
The researchers studied hormonal changes and how the body uses energy in a group of volunteers who exercised. The volunteers were then asked to lie under cooling blankets, where temperatures were slowly reduced to 12 degrees Celsius.
Most of our volunteers shivered at that time, and the shivering was anywhere between 5 and 10 minutes, no more. And again, we drew blood before and after the study.
The volunteers' bodies produced irisin, but with some surprises.
The amount of increase in irisin was almost identical to what we observed after 1 hour of exercise. This first set of experiments validated our initial hypothesis, whereby the maximum stimulation of irisin is probably shivering.
Dr. Celi says understanding how irisin activates brown fat could lead to new drugs to fight diabetes or help overweight individuals.
It's a short-term effect. We do not know yet the long-term consequences of this intervention. So studies need to be performed to address this very question. We do not know if this is advantageous, which individuals would be more able to gain from these interventions.
Back in Chicago, Paige Worthy is pleased to know that shivering may have a physical benefit. Ms. Worthy works as a fitness trainer. She helps people improve their physical condition. She is not sure she will urge her fitness students to be cold and shiver.
As a newly minted spinning instructor, I guess I would say there's risks that go along with every exercise and every weight loss regimen, but this seems like kind of a perilous way to approach your weight loss if it's going to be this cold.
Dr. Celi agrees. Just because shivering and exercise have similar effects on the body, he says, that does not mean standing in the cold should replace physical activity.
This Science in the News was based on reports from VOA reporters Jessica Berman, Jennifer Lazuta, and Roseanne Skirbel. The program was written by Christopher Cruz and produced by June Sims. I'm Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Steve Ember. Join us again next week for more news about science on The Voice of America.